On December 1st, changes to the federal rules of civil procedure take effect concerning electronic discovery. While these rules, in theory, are supposed to reduce litigation costs, one attorney says they could wind up increasing a party's costs as well as expose litigants to more penalties. Eric Sinrod, a partner in the San Francisco office of Duane Morris, says even though the new rules are designed to impose an early structure and uniformity in gathering e-evidence, parties need to start evaluating with their information technology teams and outside counsel on how to go about producing the relevant documents. Sinrod's advice is our tip of the month. Eric, thank you for joining us. What are the amendments and what do they actually change?
Well, the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure now deal straight on with electronic discovery. And essentially what they do is they force counsel and their clients immediately at the outset of a case to fully evaluate electronic systems and where electronic information that's potentially responsive and discoverable resides and how to preserve it and produce it in a meaningful way. So essentially what happens is that now, during the first 120 days of a lawsuit, parties must first meet with their own clients and ascertain where information is and how to save it and make it available. Then they have to meet and confer with the other side and try to develop an e-discovery plan, if you will. And these are the types of issues that will be discussed early on now in a case with a judge on the front end at a case management conference. That might sound clean and simple, and if I may say so, I mean, the purpose underlying these changes are to provide, you know, early structure, uniformity, and predictability when it comes to e-discovery, and that's supposed to create efficiencies and save expense. But, of course, what it does is it makes parties right at the beginning of a case have to dig in and spend quite a bit of money in terms of legal and IT resources to figure all of this out. Now, in gargantuan cases where there's a lot of money at stake, that expense certainly might not seem so significant, although it's still real. Whereas in more mid-sized or smaller cases, the electronic discovery aspects could far outweigh the value of the case itself.
At the start of a case, what should parties do? Should they set up information technology IT teams to set out what information they need to obtain?
I think it's important for clients to have IT expertise that crosses over into this new legal realm, so that especially companies that face repeat litigation, they don't want to have to go back and reinvent the wheel every time they're sued in a case and they have to figure out where data resides and what they need to do with it. So it's important for them especially to have an IT/legal team in place that's on top of this on a fairly regular and constant basis. It is important. And it's particularly important because if you get it wrong, the downside consequences can be phenomenal.
And what are the penalties if the new rules aren't followed? That's the consequences you're talking about.
Well, what we're basically dealing with essentially is spoliation of evidence. And spoliation of evidence is bad, 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 as we've seen in other types of cases, but also here too. And there are various sanctions for spoliation of evidence. But what spoliation of evidence means is that once you're on notice of or you're actually in a lawsuit and you don't make best efforts to preserve information that you know is relevant to the issues in the case, bad things are going to happen to you. You can have evidentiary inferences essentially put into place by a judge where a judge will instruct a jury that, look, this information no longer exists and you should construe it in favor completely of the party who didn't get access to the information and against the party who failed to preserve it. That's sort of the more minimal or light side of the sanctions. The sanctions can then also become quite large in terms of a directed judgment in favor of one party against another or severe monetary sanctions. And there was a recent case that dealt with this actually in the e-discovery area, which I can tell you about if you like.
Yes, let's talk about that case. If a party fails to produce relevant electronic evidence, there can be dire consequences. The case you're referring to is Microsoft and Z4.
Yeah, Z4 Technologies had a case against Microsoft. And, of course, Microsoft, no big surprise, is one of the most sophisticated technology companies in the world. And this goes to show that even sophisticated companies can get it wrong. And in this particular case, certain electronic discovery was requested, and what happened was a particular email was not produced that should have been, a particular database was not revealed that could have been, and at the end of the day, what that judge did in that case was he ordered Microsoft to pay an additional award of damages of $25 million and $2 million extra in attorney's fees as a penalty for electronic discovery misconduct. And in doing so, this particular judge noted that he actually had the discretion, if he had wanted to triple the jury's verdict against Microsoft based on what he perceived to be litigation misconduct, which would have been an extra $345 million in damages. He declined to do that, but he still awarded $25 million in penalties and $2 million in attorney's fees. This is big stuff. It's a lot of money. And like I said before, that can outstrip the value of a case. That type of penalty, and even just the efforts in terms of locating, preserving, and retrieving electronic data can be phenomenally expensive and can actually drive outcomes in cases where parties might settle, for example, when they wouldn't otherwise because they simply don't want to endure the expense and burden of electronic discovery.
So this was a pretty bellwether case, the Z4 Technologies case.
It's an example of other cases. I'm not even sure I would call it a bellwether. It's what's happening right now. Frankly, if you look at $25 plus $2 million against Microsoft, to Microsoft that's relatively a drop in the bucket, but it's still real money. And so I would call it something that we might see as routine and not bellwether. One thing I should point out, which is important, though, that even though electronic discovery is burdensome, parties do have the right to argue in a case that, look, this case is only of X hundreds of thousands of dollars in value, and what you're seeking from my company is tremendously burdensome and far outweighed by what's at stake in the case. And so judges can employ a rule of reason and say, look, we're not going to allow scorched earth electronic discovery in this particular type of case when it's maybe not so large or the parties aren't as financially sound. They're smaller companies. So there is that possibility. But it's really dependent on the judge you get in a case. And some judges will just say, look, you know, you're in litigation. This is the discovery that's being sought. The discovery sought is seeking relevant information. You have to do what it takes to comply.
Is that a problem now to balance in your arguments to do the math, how much it's going to cost for searching electronic evidence to what you actually have to give to the opposing counsel?
Oh, absolutely. Generally speaking, if you're a good lawyer and you're with a client, each step along the way you want to evaluate pluses and minuses and value. I mean, sometimes parties get very emotional about cases, but at the end of the day, it's about money. And you don't want to throw good money after bad. So let's just say, hypothetically, you're in a case and a party makes a demand of $350,000, and they also serve you with very burdensome discovery. And if you conclude that if this judge were to allow the discovery might cost $1.5 million to comply with, you might say to yourself, you know, they're only demanding $350,000 to settle. Maybe we should consider trying to negotiate this thing out. Maybe we can drive them a little lower than $350,000, but it's not even worth playing in the e-discovery game here if we can get out and perhaps do so confidentially so you're not setting a precedent where, you know, others will come after you knowing that you'll capitulate easily.
What should companies do in light of the amendment? Should companies take a preserve everything approach?
Not necessarily. And in fact, I think the rules basically say that you won't necessarily get sanctioned for spoliation of evidence if information disappears, but you have routine retention and destruction policies that make sense. So, for example, let's just say you're a company and you have certain information that moves off of the live servers and systems on a regular basis and ultimately gets purged. Let's say your data disappears on a routine matter after 5 years of being somehow kept and preserved. If that's something you employ, you do it uniformly, it makes sense within your industry, then you don't have to preserve a thing. However, things change once you know you're in a lawsuit. So you might have a particular routine preservation slash destruction policy that makes sense within your industry, but once you're served with the complaint or you know there's going to be a lawsuit, at that point you have to employ what's called a litigation hold. And then going forward, you must preserve that information which is relevant to the lawsuit. That doesn't mean you have to preserve absolutely everything. Let's just say in your company you have weekly menus for food that's supplied to employees in cafeterias, and the case has to do with nothing about food in cafeterias. You don't have to preserve that. But for those issues that are at stake in the case, you do going forward, even if it means preserving something beyond what would otherwise be your normal retention slash destruction program.
What advice would you give companies to be the best way to comply with the new rules?
The best way to comply with the new rules, I believe, is to consult with experts. And you want to have, obviously, a good IT team in place, whether that's in-house, and some companies are large enough to have that, or whether you need to hire an outside IT company. And you also have to work with attorneys skilled in this area. I mean, I can tell you that my law firm, Duane Morris, does have an e-discovery team. And we put together a plan, and we go out and we actually work with clients and we get them ready. So even before litigation strikes, they know what to do.
The theory behind the amendments is to reduce litigation costs. Will this be the case, in your estimation?
Well, maybe in the long run for certain types of companies. I mean, I think it basically means that companies that are in repeat litigation, and frankly, any large company in the United States might very well be subject to repeat litigation, it makes them get their electronic data, their house in order, so they can deal with this on an ongoing basis. So perhaps for the smaller to mid-sized company that once in a while, maybe once every few years, has a lawsuit, this forces them, like I said, at the very beginning of the case, to have to spend a lot of money dealing with electronic discovery issues when they might not have had to so much in the past. And so that can actually increase costs for them, at least in the short term.
When we talk about electronic data, what are we looking at? Where does this data live?
Electronic data can be found in many different places, and that's why it's important. Again, another reason why companies need to consult with a good e-discovery team, because it's not just enough to think, well, if we produce from our servers, we've gotten the job done. Sometimes you have to go from your live server. Sometimes you need to consult backup tapes. You have to deal with hard drives, laptop computers, personal digital assistants, PDAs. Conceivably, you could have to produce information from voicemail systems. The sky's the limit. I mean, we find electronic information now, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere. And in a big case where there's a lot at stake, conceivably a judge could order you to go to all of those places to search for, preserve, and produce electronic information. I will say this, though. I mean, sometimes we have situations where you have mutually self-assured destruction. It's almost like both sides of a case have the nuclear threat of, you know, full-scale electronic discovery. There, you know, reasonable people will sit down at a table and say, you know what, let's agree upon the proper parameters, you know, what both sides are willing to live with. So, for example, in some cases, rather than having to search absolutely everything, you'll agree upon certain custodians. Here are the 25 people in this case that really matter. We're going to search their emails. We're going to use the following 50 search terms, and then we agree amongst ourselves that that's the scope of electronic discovery we're willing to live with. That makes sense. That's very economical and efficient. It doesn't mean you're getting everything, but you're doing your best to get what matters.
Eric Sinrod is a partner with the San Francisco office of Duane Morris. He also writes regularly on cyber law issues. Tip of the Month is a regular feature of Computer and Internet Lawcast.